Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. This article was written by Dr. R. Albert Mohler, Jr., who is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the flagship school of the Southern Baptist Convention, and one of the largest seminaries in the world. Posted May 21st, 2012 at 10 a.m. on religion.blogs.cnn.com. religion.blogs.cnn.com. My take, the Bible condemns a lot, but here's why we focus on homosexuality. Are conservative Christians hypocritical and selective when it comes to the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality? With all that the Bible condemns, why the focus on gay sex and same-sex marriage? Given the heated nature of our current debates, it's a question conservative Christians have learned to expect. Look, we are told, the Bible condemns eating shellfish, wearing mixed fabrics, and any number of other things. Why do you ignore those things and insist that the Bible must be obeyed when it comes to sex? On its face, it's a fair question, but it can be opposed in two very different ways. The first, the question can be asked to suggest that the Bible's clear condemnation of sexual sins can simply be set aside. The other way of posing the question represents a genuine attempt to understand how the Bible is to be rightly applied to life today. So this is the issue that Dr. Mohler is bringing to us, and we are so thankful that he provides for us good commentary and analysis. He continues, in truth, those asking the question the first way really don't want an answer. An honest consideration of the Bible reveals that most of the biblical laws people point to in asking this question, such as laws against eating shellfish or wearing mixed fabrics, are part of the holiness code assigned to Israel in the Old Testament. That code was to set Israel, God's covenant people, apart from all other nations on everything from morality to diet. Now that is a very important point for you to commit to memory. You the listener, you the believer, you the evangelical Christian. Dr. Mohler reminds us here that the reason God gave Israel such a unique and strict code in the Old Testament, more specifically in the Mosaic Law, was to set them apart, from all other nations. Mohler continues, as the book of Acts makes clear, Christians are not obligated to follow this holiness code. This is made clear in Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10, verse 15. Peter is told, what God has made clean, do not call common. In other words, there is no kosher code for Christians. Christians are not concerned with eating kosher foods and avoiding all others. That part of our law is no longer binding, and Christians can enjoy shrimp and pork with no injury to conscience. And those of us in Carolina are so thankful that we can enjoy some good Carolina barbecue without injuring our conscience. The Bible commands on sexual behavior, on the other hand, are continued in the New Testament. When it comes to homosexuality, the Bible's teaching is consistent, pervasive, uniform, and set within a larger context of law and gospel. So let's read that again. When it comes to homosexuality, the Bible's teaching is consistent, pervasive, uniform, and set within a larger context of law and gospel. Now let me pause with reading Dr. Mohler's statement and comment that that is precisely what is constantly being accused or suggested by the opposition and by those who consider themselves Christians but are more liberal and welcoming and affirming in who they are. They suggest that preachers who preach against homosexuality are taking verses out of context. What Moeller is suggesting here is that it's just the opposite, that within the context of the book of Corinthians, for example, although he doesn't quote it, that's an example I would give you, that within the entire context, Paul gives many prohibitions and instructions to the church at Corinth, and one of them includes this homosexual behavior. And so we are not jerking verses out of context. We are, in fact, preaching the verse in the context. Moeller continues, "The Old Testament clearly condemns male homosexuality along with adultery, bestiality, incest, and any sex outside of the covenant of marriage. The New Testament does not lessen this concern, but amplifies it. The New Testament condemns both male and female homosexual behavior. The Apostle Paul, for example, points specifically to homosexuality as evidence of human sinfulness. His point is not merely that homosexuals are sinners, but that all humanity has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The New Testament condemns a full range of sexual sins, and homosexuality is specified among these sins. In Romans, Paul refers to homosexuality in terms of dishonorable passions, contrary to nature, and shameless. As New Testament scholar Robert Gagnon has stated, the Bible's indictment encompasses every and any form of homosexual behavior." Some people then ask, what about slavery and polygamy? In the first place, the New Testament never commands slavery, and it prizes freedom and human dignity. For this reason, abolitionist movement was largely led by Christians armed with Christian conviction. And let's pause for just a moment here and remind ourselves who was the leading proponent of that in Great Britain. And of course, that man is William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce. If you're not familiar with who William Wilberforce is, I would encourage you to get a biography on the man. If you have not watched the movie Amazing Grace, in which William Wilberforce's fight against abolishing slavery is presented in an amazingly good way, and I say good in the sense of the quality of the production, I would encourage you to watch that movie. If your children haven't watched Amazing Grace, watch it. If your junior high students in the school that you teach at haven't watched Amazing Grace, watch it. Have them watch it. And what you'll see, as Moeller brings to our attention, is the manner in which William's Christian conviction drove him with an amazing passion to insist that slavery must be abolished. So let's continue looking at the article. Jesus made it clear that marriage was always meant to be one man and one woman. In the Old Testament, there was an allowance for polygamy, though it normalizes heterosexual monogamy. However, in the New Testament, Jesus made it clear that marriage was always meant to be one man and one woman. Now Moeller quotes Jesus, "Have you not read that he who created them male and female," Jesus asked in Matthew, "therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast his wife, and they shall become one flesh. For this reason, Christians have opposed polygamy on biblical grounds." And by the way, this is precisely the text that I preached from Mark chapter number 10 on the Vote for Marriage sermon that exploded all over the internet because of the pro-heterosexual stand that I took just before the voting of the North Carolina Marriage Amendment. Moeller writes, why are Christians so concerned with homosexuality? Question mark. In the first place, that question is answered by the simple fact that it is the most pressing moral question of our times. Christians must be concerned about adultery, pornography, injustice, dishonesty, and everything the Bible names as sin. But when my phone rings with a caller from a reporter these days, the question I am asked is never adultery or pornography. It is about homosexuality. Christians who are seriously committed to the authority of the Bible have no choice but to affirm all that the Bible teaches, including its condemnation of homosexuality. At the same time, our confidence is that God condemns those things that will bring us, his human creatures, harms, and commands those things that will lead to true human happiness and flourishing. Did you get that? May I pause for a moment and unpack that? Moeller is juxtapositioning two ideas here. One is that what God condemns are those things that will hurt humanity, and what God commands are those things that will lead to true human happiness and flourishing. In other words, we understand that the Bible condemns all forms of sin because our Creator knows what is best for us. The Bible names sin specifically so that each of us will recognize our own sinfulness and look to Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Now let me pause for just a moment and address that. We're just about at the end of Moeller's article. I have seen, as I've researched this, that the churches that are the most accepting, inclusive, and affirming are the churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ the least. That's what I said, the least. The reason these churches preach the gospel of Jesus Christ the least is because there is no need to get saved in these churches. You say, how can you say that? I say it from this perspective. These churches do not call sin, sin. We make mistakes, poor judgments, errors, personal preferences, but not sin. And without the law as our schoolmaster, we are not driven to a Savior. Moeller says again, let me read it to you because it's so good. In other words, we understand that the Bible condemns all forms of sin because our Creator knows what is best for us. Stop. Pause. Moeller's point is well taken here. Those in the LGBT community as a whole deny the Creator. There is a minority component, an extreme minority component, that is attempting to affirm a new Creator who is all-inclusive and all-affirming. But the God of the Bible, the Creator God of Genesis 1:1, is the sovereign who has the right to command those whom He creates rules. He has the right to command behaviors. He has the right to command standards. Something as simple as eat of all the trees you want, but not the fruit on this tree. We may even look at that as absurd. It doesn't matter how we look at it. We're not the sovereign. He has the right to say, I'm going to eat of this apple or this fruit off of this tree, and you may not. He has that right because he is the sovereign. Moeller continues, Christian love requires that we believe and teach what the Bible teaches, and that we do so with both strong conviction and humble hearts. The church must repent of our failures in both of these tasks. We must not be silent where the Bible speaks. We must not be silent where the Bible speaks. As are Christians hypocrites in insisting that homosexual behavior is sin. We too are sinners, and hypocrisy and inconsistency are perpetual dangers. The church failed miserably in the face of the challenge of divorce. This requires an honest admission and strong corrective. At the same time, this painful failure must remind us that we must not fail to answer rightly when asked what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. Love requires us to tell the truth. And then the blog ends with, the opinions expressed in this commentary are solely those of R. Albert Mohler Jr. So let me pause at the end of the recording and first of all, commend CNN Belief Blog for being somewhat objective and posting this on their website. They didn't have to. They did not have to give Mohler 900 words to communicate his thoughts. And then underneath it, under sign sound off, are 6,215 responses. Amazing. 6,215 responses. Obviously, this is a hot button issue. Thank you, Dr. Mohler. Thank you, Dr. Mohler, for your contribution to the body of Christ in providing for us a continued, consistent voice of Bible truth. We appreciate your contribution. Thank you for sharing this article with us. May it be to the edification of all of us that are called to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. Have a great day. Pastor Sean signing out.